Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Good afternoon, this is Business Solutions Radio, and I'm John Deiter, your host. I want to say our new sponsors are Mac6, where we're broadcasting from today, and Conscious Capitalism Arizona chapter, where our theme is, it's just good business. Quick note, May of 2018 is the five-year anniversary since we founded the Conscious Capitalism chapter in Arizona. So happy birthday, CCAZ. A little bit about me and my business. I help business owners get more of what they want from their business by helping them implement a complete management system, a people-centric management system that gives them three things we call vision, traction, and healthy. Vision, getting everybody in the business on the same page with where you're going and how you're going to get there. Traction is the execution, accountability, and discipline to get there every day, working toward that vision. And healthy, building a cohesive, functional, fun team in the culture that you want. So that's what I do. Conscious Capitalism Arizona has recognized me as a certified conscious business consultant, meaning that I incorporate the tenets of conscious capitalism in what I teach and as I work with clients and their leadership teams. That's enough about me. And again, it's just good business is our theme here. First, I'd like to introduce one of my two guests, Scott Marsh. He's the founder of Mind and Body Strengthening. His tagline is Think Fit, Get Fit, Stay Fit. He's a certified strength and conditioning specialist, a certification given by the National Strength and Conditioning Association. Scott worked as an outpatient physical therapy clinic for 7 years, in addition to providing personal training. When a patient completed their physical therapy, he'd design a home program for them based on their specific conditions and where they needed to go and the equipment that was available. He's been helping people reach their health and fitness goals for 25 years, and it's been a rare combination, I think, of physical therapy and personal training knowledge, and really truly cares about his people. I work with Scott directly, and I can't wait to hear more about share more about what you do. He started a program called the New Warrior Project, which I know we'll talk about in a little bit, so I don't want to unveil that too soon. So welcome, Scott.
Well, thank you for having me, John.
It's great to have you here. And we had a workout this morning, which was a good one.
Yeah, it was a real good one. Yep.
So it's good to see you again here at lunchtime. Second guest is really my pleasure to welcome Dr. Heidi Janenga, co-founder and president of WebPT, country's leading rehab therapy electronic medical records platform for enhancing patient care and fueling business growth. Since starting in 2008, WebPT has grown to 500 employees, serving over 75,000 therapy professionals at over 12,000 clinics. It has five consecutive listings in the Inc. 500 fastest growing companies list. That's a great feat there. She's been recognized individually as one of Health Data Management's most powerful women in healthcare IT, Entrepreneur of the Year finalist with Ernst & Young, Most Admired Leader and Tech Titan by the Phoenix Business Journal. She serves on a lot of boards, as we see from a number of our guests, but she serves on the board of Conscious Capitalism Arizona, as the Arizona Science Center, Arizona Community Foundation, Support My Club, and Physical Therapist Political Action Committee. She also mentors within WebPT through a women's empowerment group called Propel Her, and works in the broader community working with physical therapy students and local entrepreneurs. That's a mouthful, Heidi. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me on today.
Glad to have you. And it's interesting when you were able to join and I was able to get Scott here, being in the physical therapy business in the past and what he does, I thought it would be a great combination to get together. So welcome to you both. So Heidi, a quick question, not so quick question. You seem to have really formed and grown a conscious business, as we would call it, in the conscious capitalism community. When did you hear about conscious capitalism? When did that start? Tell me a little bit about the early days there.
Sure. Well, that title of conscious business is something new. As a startup back in 2008, we created a company that we wanted to come to work to every day. Okay. It was, usually your core values and the values of a company are born out of the founders. And that's really what it was about back then. My co-founder and I both came from corporate America, and we had a lot of things that when we decided to create our own company, that we wanted to make sure that we weren't doing in our company. Right. And so we set out on that path, which, you know, gained us some success. And I really didn't really understand conscious capitalism per se until 2014, which is when I was introduced to it. Okay. Actually at an Inc. 500 conference.
Was it? Okay.
So great. Kip Tindall, the founder of the Container Store, sure, was speaking and talking about his story and basically introduced the concept and the movement, right, of conscious capitalism. And I listened to him and I heard him talking about the four pillars. And I was initially taking copious notes and then just stopped at that point because I was like, check. Wait, we did that. I didn't know this was a thing. Right. But immediately it was so intriguing to hear somebody else. I mean, at the, you know, stature and size of a company that I knew,
right,
to see how they had actually framed it, because it was a question I was starting to get a lot more of. How did you do this? How are you able to accomplish what you've been accomplishing in such a short period of time, to grow a business this fast, right, have such an amazing culture, have people that really love to work for you and with you? It was really interesting to take that and be able to then use that framework to talk about it, not only externally, but internally. And so we now talk about conscious capitalism all the time with all of our new employees that come through during what we call our culture cruise, which is our employee orientation series. Yeah, okay. And so it's now a concept that is how I talk about our business today.
It really puts a language around what it's just good business means, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's what we found at Max6, you know, when I joined them and involved with Scott as he started the chapter. And yeah, this is something that puts language around how many of us feel. It's our tribe, as we say.
Absolutely.
And so,
you know, we started from the beginning. We were in the warehouse district. We embraced the warehouse district, and that community was part of who we were. It didn't mean anything. We weren't selling to anybody in that community, but it was meaningful to us and where we were located. Mm-hmm. So that whole community piece and having all the stakeholders involved, from not only just your employees and your board, but your vendors and everybody else, they were all part of our community. And that was part of how we started the organization, is that we wanted to build a community.
Yep.
We call our customers members for a reason, right? Because they're a member of our community.
Yeah.
It just resonated. All the pieces resonated. And so now it is a part of our language, and it's a common language that we share, not only, again, internally, but I like to blog about it. And it's definitely within the physical therapy industry, as you understand, especially in the small private practice environment, where the small business arena is really ripe to really understand and use this concept to be able to empower them to do more.
Very much so. And I would think that their higher purpose, which is one of the tenets of pillars of conscious capitalism, is to help people, right? And I think that's what I appreciate about Scott, because he is all about helping people, finding all kinds of ways to do that. So Scott, tell me about your mind and body strengthening. I have a t-shirt with the logo and the Think Fit, Get Fit, Stay Fit, the logo on the back. It kind of inspires me when I'm working out. But how did you come up with that name?
You know, mind and body, you know, watching people over 25 years, you know, start an exercise program, then they, you know, they'll get excited for a while, then they'll, you know, kind of disappear into the woodwork. They don't form the habits. They don't have the practice. They don't have the skills to, you know, maintain that. So did some research and got together, put some tools together to help people get those daily lessons and, you know, form those new habits,
right,
and, you know, hopefully get some longevity, change a lifestyle. And it's not a 7-day fit to, you know, this or that or whatever. So,
or a 3-week or a 4-week,
yeah,
hey, do this and eat this way and you'll lose all the weight you need. And I've been there, done that multiple times. And it's really been a pleasure working, yeah, with you over this last couple of years. So, that's awesome. And you also work out of the Max6 building here. Tell us about that arrangement. What's going on with that?
Yeah, so I run my business out of the Max6 gym. And, you know, I can't be more thankful for being here, because, you know, it's just a great place to come every day. It doesn't even seem like I'm coming to work. The vibe that has been established with Scott and the Max6 team is just, you know, incredible. And, you know, it's just a really feel-good place to come to every day. And I really enjoy it.
Well, I know when I've been down there, there's been more and more people. I stop by, you're down there from 11 to 2, 3 days a week.
Yep.
Really, Max6 covers that, and you're available to anybody that comes down. So how cool is that to go down and have some individual attention? Although sometimes there's four or five or six people down there, but he keeps them all hopping and say, come on, get that rep done, do five more or whatever.
You know, and also too, you know, things that come out of that are people, you know, they come up and they're at their desk. They don't really have to meet anybody. So, you know, I'm kind of a, you know, little social director and, you know, people engage with each other and then, you know, some friendships or maybe, you know, some other relationships are joined. Right. And, but, you know, it becomes good. Now they have a workout partner and, you know, the people that do show up during lunchtime, you know, realize that, you know, it's good to get a break, get away. And, you know, they see benefit in it once they start coming down and, they see that. So it's all been good.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. So Heidi, you started with your core values. How did you do that? How, especially with a small group, you can state your core values and you get people engaged, but how do you keep that going with 500 employees?
Well, it's not easy for sure. So in the beginning, you know, when a new employee would start and you try to understand what it means to be a WebPT, or it was just through osmosis, you would come in and you would sit next to the person of the job that you were going to have similar to, and you would just learn what it meant to be a part of the team, right? At that point, you're wearing lots of hats and it's just kind of free flowing. As we started to grow, in 2010, we took our first round of funding in, which was a small angel round from a local group called Canal Partners here, led by Jim Armstrong of JDA Software, has been a great mentor for us. And when we took that first round of funding in, one of the first things that we did was hire people. We needed more resources. Right. And so what quickly happened within that first 6 months that we had hired more people in the organization than had been with us the previous 2.5 years. And so we felt this cultural shift and we didn't like it and we recognized it.
Wow,
and so very intentionally, we decided to do something about it. We sat down, we had sort of a ritual that we did every year in which our team would come together and we would do a mini strategic planning session, I guess, where we would talk about sort of what have we done really well this year, what were our plans for next year. And we also asked, you know, at this point, our 40-person team, you know, who do you want to be as a company? Like, what do we want to be known for? What do we want to represent? And we filled up a whiteboard, you know, I don't know, 2 times the size of this wall that we're sitting in here. And all of those words that got put up on that wall is what actually got distilled down into what our core values are today. You know, what I'm most proud of is A, it didn't just stream from the leadership team. It wasn't like kind of top down saying, hey, here's what our core values are. And these are the ones you're going to abide by. It actually came bubbled up from sort of the bottom up. Not only that, but it is now scaled with us to 500 employees. So it's really part of the foundation of who we are. And we think about our core values as sort of our guiding principles, in which, you know, we can have policies and procedures till the cows come home, but our goal is not to have a policy and procedure manual that's, you know, 3 binders deep. It's just, we, as long as you come in, you understand what the core values are, you're leading and thinking about them when you're making decisions, that you're probably going to make the same decisions that the majority of the people in the organization are going to make. And so it's, you know, sort of streamed out of those first 40 founding employees, but now is scaled to be able to help us with the 500, not only 500 employees, but not only just, we're not all located here in Phoenix anymore. So we have multiple hubs, right? And so again, it's super intentional in how we roll culture out to our organization. With every new employee, it's almost a week long process of not just culture indoctrination, but it's also about learning about the company and who we are, how we like to do things, what we represent, what our vision, what our purpose is in the organization. And that starts actually even before they get hired. Our core values are intertwined with everything we do, from the job description to the interview process. You'll hear similar language of our core values and things around what, how we like to do things involved in any of those process expectations set up as you get to be a new employee through that culture cruise. And then even your performance reviews. When you get a performance review, you see all of our 8 core values, and then you've got specific metrics and specifics to your department that are woven into that. But you just, you never get away from it, right? It's part
it's
of
just there. It's your core.
It is.
That's who you are. And what's I know when I teach EOS and we develop, discover the values of the company, it is with the leadership team, but we do an exercise where we pick out, 3 people that if you had 100 of them, you could conquer the world. And then you go from there to, okay, now why did you pick those three? And you kind of build up those things. And at the end, once they have those and they incorporate that into their hiring process, it's really about not so much hiring, but making sure that you're discouraging anybody that doesn't share those core values, yeah. Right? So it's almost a self-selection that say, you know what, if you really don't feel these core values, it may not be the right spot for you. So,
what I think is important to remember too, the core values of the company are unique to your company, and they're really about your organization and how you like to do things, right? So, for example, I mean, people love to read our core values because they don't just say your normal sort of pillars that everyone talks about. Like when we talk about accountability, our core value is F up, own up.
I was going to say that's one of my favorite.
Right, it's usually F everybody's favorite. Yeah,
and we're on internet radio, so we actually could say that.
You
if
could
we
actually
wanted.
Say it, right?
Well, but I'm not going to say that.
The parental advisory, yeah, for this podcast. But yeah, I mean, it's true to who we are, and we, you know, wanted to emphasize. We did consciously think about should we put the word "fuck" in our core values. But it was a passion around, you know, the fact that we were growing super fast and we wanted people to understand that it's okay to make mistakes and to not be afraid to fail. Innovation is critical for us as a software company. And we wanted people to really understand that, right? And so it's there in bold letters for our core values.
The other one you have to explain to me is be minty, which is... parentheses personality. So
yeah.
I hadn't heard that phrase. What's that one about?
Well, I mean, so being minty, it came out of an inside joke. One of our sales guys who, whenever we went out, he would always make sure people had great breath. So it was all about, you know, making sure you either had a mint or a gum or something like that, because, you know, your first impression is not one that if you have, especially in a sales position, I mean, that's a big turnoff.
Right.
It evolved into bringing your mintiest self. And it doesn't mean that you have to be super bubbly and effervescent. It just means that you bring your best self to work, that, you know, you leave your baggage at the door because everybody has it, right? But when you're coming in, you're bringing your A game. And, you know, for us, it's all about creating raving fans, which is another one of our core values. And it doesn't just mean with our customers, it means with the person that you sit next to as well. And so it's really just about that camaraderie and just bring a positive spirit and energy when you come into the office.
That's really cool.
Minty.
I like that. So Scott, I want to get back to you on the New Warrior project. My perspective on that is that the epitome of your value of giving first and giving of value and doing what you love to do. So tell me about that. I know about it, but tell our audience.
Okay.
It's awesome.
So the New Warrior program. Yep. It was started just, you know, wasn't a plan. It was just actually a couple of people, husband and wife that work across the hall from the gym. They had a son, you know, he went to college for 1 year, you know, just really wasn't for him. So then he decided to join the Navy and he never really been active. And so they have the physical requirements that he has to meet when you go to boot camp. And so they asked if I would help him. I'm like, well, sure. So he came in, I wrote him out a program, you know, kind of engaged with him because he had about 6 months before he left. And so, you know, we had to brush up on his nutrition, you know, so, you know, that wasn't the best. And so we got him through that. And so he left. And then once he left, I was just thinking to myself, okay, he cannot be the only one.
Right.
So I just drove down the street and there's, you know, the recruiting stations are not too far from here, probably a couple miles. So I just went into the Army and the Marines and Navy and Air Force offices, just offered a service to them. There was going to be no charge to the kids. I just wanted them to show up. I just figured, you know, we'll give them a good head start in the beginning.
Right.
And, you know, I figured that was, you know, we'll pay it on the front side instead of waiting to maybe after they leave the military and maybe give them a better chance. And then they can maybe learn something about nutrition and fitness. So, it's been, you know, 2 years later, I've had over 100 kids. And, some of the kids that you think would never maybe not make it, they get to that environment and they just, you know, thrive. And so then, you know, some of them come in, they're a little bit timid. And so we'll go through the warm up and do stuff. And after they learn it for a while, then I'll just put them in a leadership role and make them run the warm up. And, you know, they usually don't like that, but, you know, they got to do it.
Right.
And then they embrace it. And then, you know, they get a little better by teaching. And you can just see them kind of growing out of that, their little shell.
That has to be really cool.
Oh.
And I know one of your graduates, I guess, when he graduated the boot camp, you went to his graduation in San Diego,
wasn't it? Yeah, he was one of my Marines. Yep. Yeah. So, you know, we're, because of the Navy, you're all in north of Chicago.
Okay.
At Great Lakes. So that's a little far from here, but, you know, San Diego's not too far. So we went over there and watched the Marine graduation. And I tell you, that was, it was really something to see. Very traditional.
Yeah.
You know, not, in Marines, not a lot of pomp and circumstance, but but it was really something, and it was a great accomplishment for him because it's still not easy to finish that.
Yeah. And, well, I remember you telling me that you get text messages back from them, and how comfortable it was getting through boot camp after the training you put them through. And it's like, how did that happen?
It's so, yeah, we give them a good jump start on the physical part of it. You know, the mental part, you know, they just got to deal with them to get there.
Right.
So, I had one of the kids, went in the Navy, and he got to boot camp, and, you know, he was one of the ones that, you know, kind of struggled through, you know, our program, but he got there, he made it, and then he really thrived there, and he ended up helping other kids at nighttime with their physical.
Wow.
So he paid it forward. He remembers some of the stuff, you know, he had learned. And then his dad was telling me at the Navy graduation, kids were coming up saying, you know, Mom, you know, if it wasn't for, you know, this guy, I wouldn't be here today because he helped me get through all this. Yeah. So, you know, that really pays back forward. And that makes, you know, you really feel like you're getting something done.
Right. Right. Well, that's kudos for that. And, I know we've talked about maybe setting up a nonprofit for somewhere that you could get some funding for that, but just doing it on your own. And I know what, working out of the Max 6 gym, you're here evenings and Saturday mornings without them with the track and so forth.
Yeah.
So,
well, really, Scott, it's super commendable. I love your name as well with combining the mind and the body.
Thank you.
But not only that, but I mean, it's just great to hear about the kids' involvement, you know, in this day and age of juvenile diabetes and, you know, childhood obesity, right? So having an outlet for those kids, that's fantastic.
Well, you can, you know, the number of kids that I've seen and the other ones, you can really tell the effect of having, you know, not having PE in elementary schools. And, you know, it's really starting to come forward now because, you know, I think the base level of fitness of our young people is much lower than what it should be. And so, I mean, when I see them, you know, some people can't even do a push-up. I mean, it's really, you know, we're starting that, you know, really the ground. But, you know, they put the time in and they get better. And then, you know, you can just see their confidence grow with it.
Yeah, so and I'm sure you don't do it for the recognition. That's just awesome that kind of comes along with it. I know that part of the reason that we are involved with quite a bit of philanthropy within our organization as well is it is really pulling back to that higher purpose of why, you know, the fact that business is used for power of good, that you can show people different ways that they can become engaged in the community to give back. We're involved in all kinds of things. We just did a really amazing, actually had Conscious Capitalism AZ as represented with the art.
That, yeah.
Fearlessly Doing Business in Art. And so this artist, Michelle Michelisi, picked our company because we have quite a bit of philanthropic work that we do. And we picked 8 nonprofits that she paired up with our core values. And they came in, did interviews, and then she created pieces of art that are now actually on sale. So I'm just going to put a plug in because she is creating this. She created this beautiful art. We just had the showcase last Friday. Auctions are still on. So if you go to fearlesslydoingbusiness.org, you can find the link. And so, and percentage of the proceeds actually go back to all of the nonprofits. So just an amazing sort of combination, but, to see people come out and see, you know, how they've inspired someone else to think about what we're doing and represent that through art was just incredibly moving, right? You don't even think about it necessarily because you do it on a daily basis, just how you do it and what you do.
Because that's their passion.
That's their passion, right? So it's just an amazing opportunity. Just, you know, another one of those things you're just like, holy cow, you're making a difference in the world, right?
It's just, and it happens because people are good and thinking about that. And again, Scott done a great job with all of that. So Heidi, you kind of have something going on. You call it culture tours. You're taking something on the road. What's all about that?
Yeah, so we just grew to 500 this past year. And in the beginning of this year, we acquired a company that had these hubs and multiple locations. So now we have 10 locations of WebPT throughout the country, including, you know, remote cities, Portland, Maine, Virginia Beach, Virginia, Minneapolis. I mean, they're not like they're even crunched together. So Boston, Denver, Atlanta, Upland, California. And so, you know, first of all, integrating two cultures together is tough. I mean, it's the number one reason companies fail is they don't get their cultures to mesh. But so we had a lot of synergies in the beginning. We vetted that as we went through the acquisition process. So we knew we absolutely knew what we were getting into. But our culture is such an important part. Again, I alluded to sort of it being the foundation of our company. And so getting that out and known initially was really important. So within the first 60 days, we have a culture captain who is sort of leading the charge in all things culture with us. And she works directly with me. And so she and I did a whirlwind tour within 2 weeks of hitting all 8 of the new hubs. And we took about 2 to 3 hours, depending on the size of the hub, and went through what we called a mini culture cruise, which was basically an introduction to WebPT, who we are, our purpose, our vision, where we've came from, what our future is going to look like, and most importantly, the core values and what they mean to us and how we actually implement them throughout the organization. And it was really incredible to see, because we would do groups of about 20, 25 people at once, and they would come in, they would sit down, they are all kind of looking down like, oh, great, you know, what is this going to be, like another meeting? And by the end, people were smiling and high-fiving and, you know, talking amongst each other like they hadn't talked to each other and they worked in the same building.
Right.
So it was just this transformation within such a short period of time. Again, one of those moments that you're like, holy crap, like we are really doing something right here. Right.
Wow. And especially when someone's being acquired, there's a lot of
fear
involved there. Yeah. So to have you and your team there to share and, you know, the enthusiasm, I can just sense it, even just talking to you, how that went how that could go over really well. Big sigh of relief as everybody let it out of their system.
Well, we're a people first organization, and it's sometimes people don't understand what that means. And when it's something you have to feel. And, you know, having the president, co-founder of the organization come out and personally tell you about it, right? And followed by, you know, our employee success, which is what we call our HR leaders or HR portion of our organization. We don't call it HR. We call it employee success for a reason.
Nice, yeah.
And our CEO, followed by a lot of our senior management team. It's everybody getting out there and, you know, giving them a big giant WebPT hug.
Yeah. And the people, when again, with EOS, when we teach our leading and managing and accountability results from that, we say you can do all kinds of things, but the only thing that's mandatory is you need to genuinely care about your people. And it's very simple. You have to care about your people. So obviously that's what you were doing.
That's great. Created these concert t-shirts that was hashtag culture, WebPT culture tour. And we had all the cities and states on the back and our core values on the front. And we actually, we probably shouldn't say this on air, but we used the sort of AC/DC kind of the logo for our company in the front. So we had WebPT in the lightning bolt letters. It was really fun. They truly embraced it. And, you know, people love free t-shirts.
So. Yeah, they'll do anything for t-shirts.
Yeah, we have t-shirt culture at WebPT. So.
Yeah, I'm training with Scott because he gave me a t-shirt.
I know, right? It's easy.
Yeah, exactly. See?
Yeah, very good. That's awesome. So Scott, there's one more program I want to make sure you have a chance to talk about. You've offered it to me and it's been terrific. I'm about halfway through. It's called Precision Nutrition.
Right.
What's that about?
So Precision Nutrition is a year-long program that, you know, nutrition-based plus there's an exercise component that can be part of it. So really what we're trying to do is just help people become a better version of themselves. And that's acquired by, you know, just a daily email or a practice gets delivered to you. And so every 2 weeks you get a new habit to build on, which are foundational. And then throughout the course of the year. So we're just kind of a drip system of helping people change, you know, get rid of some of those old habits and put in some new habits. And it's just a slow change. And, you know, it's nothing fast. It's nothing, not too much thought has to go into it on a daily basis, just a little bit, but it's just the body. It's just the awareness of making change. And kind of figuring out where you want to go. So you really, what you do is, where would I want to be in a year? And then you go back and kind of write your owner's manual. And then we just kind of work through it from that at that point. and, you know, work on getting you to your goals.
A lot of it has to do with the mind.
Yeah.
Again, the exercise component is there, but it's the mind and changing habits. And it's been easy in a way because I get a habit every 2 weeks, and that's what I focus on. And each 2 weeks, you add a new habit, and they're pretty simple. Also, it's not like, okay, well, do 100 push-ups a day and or eat specifically this. It's really about moving further on the continuum of healthy habits.
Yeah. So it touches on, you know, on sleep habits, you know, grocery shopping, cooking, you know, some of the mechanics of, you know, eating, you know, digestion, and, you know, just, it just kind of puts it out there, and, you know, people just have to, you know, embrace it, and, you know, how much they want to, relinquish control that they know, even if you know, but it's the consistent daily practice, which is the key. Just, you know, having something every day, making you aware of what you have to do. So, John's done amazing.
One of the things that we know as physical therapists is the hardest thing to do is get people compliant with their home exercise program.
Yeah.
So what's sort of your secret sauce in being getting people to really feel engaged with the programs that you're doing and keep going with it? Because obviously it made a difference with John.
Yeah. So I think, you know, you have to be ready to make a change. You know, I mean, you know, people that are already, you know, like a high level athlete or someone who's really disciplined and they really got their eating, you know, nailed down, this may not be for them. You know, people who have failed with, you know, Weight Watchers or Jenny Craig, or, you know, they've tried, you know, all these yo-yo dieting things. Those are the people that are going to have the greatest success because now they want to embrace something, but they don't really know or have a plan to execute that. So, you know, having people be accountable is that helps make it a little bit easier on my part. And, you know, everyone has a little bit different trigger on what makes them accountable. So you just have to kind of figure that out. So I guess there's really not one whole answer.
Sure.
Scott's good at figuring that out. Well, and
you've got the mind component to it. So is there also sort of a therapy component? Like we watch the shows on TV and there's always like something deep inside that's either holding them back or that they need it released to really fully understand why they're overweight or why they eat too much. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And so in part of this program with the precision nutrition, some of that is dealt with in some of the daily lessons because you really have to kind of dig deep. And the more you put into it, the more you're going to get out. And so people, the ones that are doing it on a daily basis and are really putting deep thought into, you know, answering the questions and, you know, doing some soul searching are having the greatest success. So it's, and everyone has their different, you know, paths of how they're going to get there. But in the end, it's all about, you know, getting to where they want to go. Yeah. So it's just not a, you know, one size fits all kind of thing. So
I love that. I mean, it's what's happening in healthcare as well, a much more interdisciplinary approach rather than thinking that only one person has the answer. I mean, it's still got a long way to go. Don't get me wrong, but it's definitely trying to get back to a patient first, what's best for the patient mentality. It's, you know, and obviously everybody has their own theory of what that is,
right?
But trying to get a more collaborative approach to, you know, getting people better. I know we're very involved in that. And right now it's a lot of data driven things. So, you know, it's really important, I think, from an overall healthcare experience.
So we just, you know, it's just 1% better every day.
Just and a little bit. It's not judgmental. They know we're going to mess up and not do well, but okay, well, what can you do tomorrow to be better?
It's a shift in mindset because everybody wants the magic bullet, right? Yeah. Everybody wants the magic pill that's going to make them skinny tomorrow or.
Yeah, that's not it.
I know it's not it, but.
I want to. Weight loss contest about 4 years ago. I lost 35 pounds and felt terrific. And, you know, 6 weeks and about, was it eight? I think it was an 8 week program. Ate very rigorously, a cheat meal, which, what's that mean? And, but here I was back last year, back up again. I said, you know, it's another yo yo. I got to get back down. And this has been just ingraining and it's been a slow process. But it's been great so far. So thanks for turning me on to that, Scott.
Oh, yeah.
they developed this with some pretty significant funding, a lot of research. I mean, you'll see a lot of wisdom in what they do. They do videos of and on the exercise component, they do a video of doing it the right way. So you see the right way of doing things. And of course, if you're working with a trainer like Scott, he makes sure that you're doing it the right way with, so you don't hurt yourself.
And they also give you a little bit of like what not to do. Cause that, you know, and that seems like with my, like my sister in particular, she, that has been more helpful for her to see what not to do than it is to see the correct way. So everyone has a little bit different, it's been interesting on my aspect to see everyone's input. Cause every time you do your day lesson, you check it off, I get an email and I review your answers so I can comment, we can comment back and forth. So I have a real feel for what's going on a daily basis of how people are going through it. So the people that I see in the gym, I can engage them a little more. Otherwise it's just, you know, it can all just be delivered online if someone can't come to the gym. So that's how it's designed. But, you know, it's just a bonus when I can see them in the gym and we can talk a little bit more in depth for it. So,
yeah.
That technology, use of technology has really evolved our platform as well. Just in terms of, we have a home exercise program component, which we offer digital videos and things like that so that the therapist can prescribe their exercises and they can actually go home and see them again versus getting a piece of paper with a static picture on it.
It's
right.
It's really nice.
Yeah. So it's much, I mean, when we're starting to see improvements in compliance, and then not only that, but we also added a patient retention management platform, which is basically like a CRM for patients. So you can keep in contact with them via, whether it's email or they're sending you, you know, you can send them text messages and things like that to check in with them. Yeah. Hey, how's it going? Hey, you know, which was this exercise too hard, or so we can change it up. And so you have this continuity of communication versus, I mean, albeit remotely, but it's better than nothing, right? So they don't have to pay a copay or whatever to come in. And so you've got this constant communication. So it's evolving, you know, as people evolve and technology evolves around us in our everyday life, that the expectation is that it has to come into, you know, healthcare and, you know, accounting and everything else you deal with and not just your home life.
Yeah.
Some great higher purposes here between the two of you, and you can feel that. Just a little bit more on conscious capitalism, and I have another question for Heidi as well. But, you know, the four pillars, we've kind of touched on those, but it's a higher purpose beyond just profit. Business has to have profit to sustain itself and do the good things that they do. But there's something above that that really motivates employees to get behind it, not just the monetary aspect. Then there's a stakeholder engagement where all stakeholders are considered. That's not a zero-sum game. You're talking about employees, community. You were mentioning that earlier. Vendors, customers, everyone. Then there's conscious culture, where you're creating that culture that you were describing, Heidi. And then there's culture, conscious leadership, which is us as individuals demonstrating that consciousness of awareness and working with people. Is there some aspect from your leadership role of conscious leadership? How do you embody that? Or is there any secrets that you can share with the
Well, I will say that once the core values have been established, it has to be sort of agreed upon amongst leadership, because you can't have people that don't truly believe and aren't living that on a daily basis. Because, you know, anybody who works with you is going to be looking up to, well, if they're not doing it, why should I be doing it? Right.
Walk the talk.
Exactly. So that's first and foremost, I think. And, you know, we now talk about hiring for culture, and what that means is that we're hiring for our core values. And so integrating that into our interview process, asking very specific questions. We ask questions about servant leadership. We ask questions about, you know, values of customer service and experiences that they had, both positive and negative, and how they talk about those things are really important to us, right?
Right.
And so, and even to the top, I mean, it goes to our entry-level employee and it goes all the way up to our CEO. We just recently hired a new CEO in October of 2016. And through that process, it was really not very much different than hiring for our entry-level customer service rep, that we asked cultural questions. And those were extremely important. We actually asked more, probably, because as you can imagine, bringing in a CEO that's one of the top positions in an organization, like, that could completely change your culture if they're not on board with sort of how you do things.
Yeah, the higher up you go, I think the more important that is, because you're the one that demonstrates that and people follow.
Yeah. And it's not to say that we don't want things to change, because they're going to evolve over time. But there's this core understanding of having that sort of higher purpose and believing in the vision, right, of that, what you're trying to accomplish with your organization, that has to be there. And it's got to be there with leadership.
Yeah.
We did the same thing when we went through our second round of funding in 2014. We went with a venture capital firm. So we took venture money, which can be very scary. And definitely culture is usually not the top of their list of things they want to talk about. It's usually dollar signs. And while we did have lots of conversations about that, we did talk very much about the culture and what, you know, what I'm again, you know, you make a lot of decisions when you have the success that we've been able to have in 10 years. We made some very bad ones too. We failed miserably on some things, but you learn quickly, right? You fail fast.
Right.
Yeah. But we did a deal in 2014 with Battery Ventures, which is a top tier VC firm out of Silicon Valley. And that was a huge deal for the organization. But what I've loved about them is they have truly embraced who we are as an organization and and our culture included. You know, part of our P&L has culture things, right? They could fairly easily say, well, that's not adding up to your bottom line, or we need to grow that bottom line. Why don't you just slice that off?
Yeah.
They don't do that. And they really understand that that is truly part of our success and how we've gotten to be where we have. And as a matter of fact, they start talking about that more with a lot of their other portfolio companies that, hey, this is how they rolled out this very difficult decision in the organization. And they haven't lost a lot of, they haven't lost people. Like, people are on board. They understand. Right.
Right.
And so, it's been an interesting ride, but, you know, tried and true to how conscious capitalism can actually very much work.
Right. Right. It's just good business, right?
It's just good business.
You know, and a lot of times when I'm talking to someone that, you know, they're hearing about it for the first time, and I rattle off the pillars and I talk a little bit about it. Yeah, we do that. We do that. They're really unconscious, conscious capitalists as you were when you started.
Right.
And Scott McIntosh, our chapter chair, says that all the time. He was doing those things, but the language of conscious capitalism gave it a language. We now have a tribe that's expanding that we all share that language and the commonality here. So it's pretty exciting to see that growth happening.
Yeah.
So good to be part of it.
Well, I think it's really important in this day and age too, right now, where the headlines are of negative things. I'm sure if you guys are in the software world, you've heard about the whole Theranos scandal. And so, I mean, that's just an example of terribly gone wrong culture in an organization, right? And I mean, there's lots of things we can talk about. That's a whole nother podcast probably, right? But I mean, it's unfortunate that that's what gets headlines where, you know, what we're trying to do is empower and showcase, which I'm so thankful to be here with this radio show, right? So that we're doing that is showcasing companies that are doing it, you know, in a way that you don't have to think about the top line all the time or the bottom line as your primary goal, right? I mean, that's going to come when you are doing the right things and thinking about your people and producing a great product to boot.
Absolutely. I have some training in business valuation. And one of the key things, the intangibles that adds value to the business is not just the management structure, but how they do things and the culture of the business is a real strength. When you can go into a company and you sense that team's working together and doing good things, motivated and engaged, there's value to that. And that's a way to build up the value of business.
Well, nice rising tides raise all boats, right? I mean,
absolutely.
Look at you with Mach 6 and, you know, Scott's company downstairs. I mean, it's synergy, right? And that's how
that's
it should
it.
Be.
Yes. You know, Scott and Kyle's vision of what Mach 6 could be evolved to where they wanted the gym. And I don't know how they even met you, Scott. How did you get in touch with Scott and Tasha initially?
Actually, I had a former client a personal training client I had an office here. So his wife was actually, she's the one who helped start and organize the gym downstairs.
Okay.
And then it was just too much for her to come. So he, just by chance, I was talking to him one day and he said, hey, we got this is over here, whatever. Would you like to meet with Scott? I'm like, well, sure. And, you know, I met Scott and then, you know, here we are.
Here we are.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like how I met Scott. I was volunteering at SCORE and Lynn Whitman was on the board there and she knew Scott and Scott talked to her about, hey, I need a financial guy. You know anybody? And Lynn said, well, you ought to talk to John Deiter. Then Scott and I talked and that led to me consulting with him for a couple of years. And then I worked for him directly for 3 years. And now I'm here doing this and doing my EOS work, all as part of that community. It's amazing. I feel blessed for sure. How do folks get in touch with you, Scott? They're hearing this and they want to get in touch with you. What's the best way?
So they can email me at scott@mindandbodystrengthening.com or you can call or text 248-909-4053.
OK, Okay. And mind and body, is that spelled out?
Mind and body. Yes. Yep. Okay. Yes, it is.
Super. How about you, Heidi?
Yeah. If anybody is interested in WebPT, please just go to our website. It's webpt.com. Okay. We have a very robust website that you can find all kinds of information there about all of our platform of products, from patient retention management, home exercise program, the EMR, of course, which includes documentation. And now we also offer revenue cycle management. So we're doing billing on behalf of our companies. And not only that, but if you just come to our website, we have a plethora of information. We are the third most sought after resource behind the American Physical Therapy Association and the Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services for anything that has to do with physical therapy or rehab therapy in general, compliance or small business, large business, any business sort of activities. And I'll put one last plug in. We have our Ascend conference, which is our annual conference that we put on every year. And because it's our 10-year anniversary this year, it's actually going to be right here in Phoenix, Arizona at our HQ.
Great.
You can go to ascendevent.com and get your tickets. They're already going pretty quickly. We're excited about that. We hope to have record attendance again this year. We have amazing speakers from all over the country that come and share their knowledge for a 2.5-day conference. So we're excited about that as well.
How many folks come in for that?
Well, last year we had a little over 400. This year we're hoping to push 600.
Wow.
So every year it gets a little bigger. It's only our fourth year doing it.
Terrific.
It's going to be a really fun event. We have quite the reputation in the industry for knowing how to throw a party.
Nice.
And so it's going to be great because of our 10-year, and we're really excited to celebrate with
that
everyone.
Well, congratulations on the 10 years. That's right.
Yeah,
for sure. Scott, anything else that we didn't cover that maybe want to throw something else out? Covered a lot of ground?
You know, I mean, if you want to go to my website, mindandbodystrengthening.com, you can read more about the new Warrior program.
Okay.
And, I got some other information on there. So if people want to see more what we're about, you can read a little bit more in detail there.
If any recruits are hearing this or hear of this,
right.
Go to your recruiting station and ask them to introduce you to Scott.
Okay. Yeah.
And I do a lot of mentoring and stuff. So I'm active on social media. So if you want to reach out to me on LinkedIn, it's just Heidi Jananga. Happy to connect and go from there.
And again, I'll put a little plug in for Conscious Capitalism Arizona, consciouscapitalismaz.com. You go there and get a lot of information on tenants and what we're about and the education initiative and our corporate memberships as well as individual memberships. And we're getting a lot of momentum. They're starting a chapter down in Tucson. So these shows are going to be a big part of getting that message out. And I'm honored and really happy to be able to host these. And having Scott and you and Heidi today was awesome. So.
Yeah, and there is a big conference too. I think in actually June, or is it April?
The national conference
is in April.
It will
be
in April 2019. It's actually going to be Phoenix. Here in Phoenix.
Yeah. Yes.
And if you want to get involved with that, I know we're going to need lots of help in getting that done. And of course, Conscious Capitalism Inc. will kind of coordinate things. But we want to get a great showing, a great turnout from Phoenix here too. So more of the barrier, and if you feel like you can help organize that, get it done, that'd be great too.
And we're always looking for more people to get certified through our program at CCIZ as well to become
ambassadors.
Yep, and also specifically certified vendors that practice the conscious capitalism values.
Yeah, the ambassador program basically takes through some training so they're comfortable in the language, can go out and talk to any groups that they're associated with, and again, spread the word. So some good stuff going on. So thanks for bringing those up too. I think that wraps it up for today. I'm John Deiter, your host of Business Solutions Radio. And again, it's just good business.